Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's up? Tuesday, January 28th, I'm Jeff, this is The Rant. It's the two-week build-up to the Super Bowl, huh? Today on the podcast, I want to talk really quickly about what we saw in the conference championship round. We'll do a little post-mortem here for both Washington and the Buffalo Bills. So we'll set you up there for the offseason. Also have a couple coaching hirings here. Only the one main coaching hiring since the last time we spoke, which, of course, was Dallas. Yikes. I'll give you a couple quick thoughts on Brian Schottenheimer to the Dallas Cowboys here to start things off. And a brief preview. We'll give you a much more in-depth preview to the Super Bowl next week, but at least some initial thoughts on what we can expect from this game, of course, which is a rematch of the 2022 Super Bowl. Real quick on the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, FTNFantasy.com, go check it out. But real quick on the Dallas Cowboys. So I did not really take it for real initially when I saw the betting odds were minus 250 that they were going to hire Schottenheimer. But they did it. Oh, they did it. And, you know, when I look at the hirings this go round, the Saints still have to make a hiring. Honestly, I haven't been able to find any betting odds, but right now Kellen Moore might be my favorite for that gig. But I look at the hirings. Okay, Vrabel to the Patriots, duh. That was obvious. It was easy. And I really don't hate it. I mean, you brought in McDaniels as your offensive coordinator. I really don't hate that. The Bears got the guy in Ben Johnson, the most coveted candidate out there. So you can never hate when a team goes out and gets that the hot name on the market, even if it doesn't work out. I'd rather a team try and swing for the fences, try and hit a home run than try and like bunt a single little sacrifice bunt coaching hiring. So I don't mind that one. I've been on record saying I really like Aaron Glenn. I just don't know about the fit for the Jets, being that you just went and had a defensive minded, you know, former DC as your head coach, and you really didn't go in any different direction. But the offensive coordinator hiring is really going to be the final determining factor for me. Obviously, they have some work at quarterback. Liam Cohen to the Jags, as weird as the Duval thing that he did was that a good impersonation? As weird as that was, I do like the hiring. I mean, let's face it, he was in control of explosive offense. You know, he called the shots there for Tampa, helped Baker Mayfield to a career year, really built around Mayfield. Now he said he's going to do the same exact thing with Trevor Lawrence. You don't have to be Arthur Fonzarelli for me to really appreciate what you're able to do as an offensive coordinator or potentially as a head coach. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, as corny as the Duval thing was. I love Grandpa Pete, so getting him hired there for the Raiders, I think, was a great job. So really, all around, I don't love the Aaron Glenn hiring, but I love Aaron Glenn. I think everybody did fairly well, and then you have the Cowboys. Like, I don't know what the hell this is. The most noteworthy thing about Brian Schottenheimer is his last name. Like, name something that he's done and you're like, yup, that's Schottenheimer. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it whatsoever. Why not just retain Mike McCarthy? Why not just give him the stupid contract that he wanted? I don't get it. Now, really, granted, they did do a nice job at DC. They brought in Matt Eberflus, so I actually think that helps the cause, because Mike Zimmer, you know, I think the league basically had passed him by. It looks like he's going to end up retiring for good at this point. But you have some nice groceries to cook with there for Eberflus. I think Eberflus can do a really good job. The Bears' defense was never really the issue. It was their offense initially. And then this year, honestly, it was the coaching. It was the, you know, he didn't run a tight ship as the head coach, but he's fine to be a DC. So it's a weird one. I'm not going to change any values fantasy-wise, like outlooks on these guys. I don't love that hiring. I do not. All right, let's move over to the games here. So we'll go in order. And obviously, Philadelphia absolutely laid the wood in the first of the two contests here against Washington. And you knew, like, I wouldn't say right from the gate, because Washington had a fairly commanding drive. They marched down the field. Now, the Philly did hold them to a field goal on the drive, but it looked like it was going to be a really long day for the Eagles. And then the first offensive snap Saquon takes it to the house. I mean, it's you just now at this point, you just expect 60 plus yard touchdowns, which is not something we expect. But with him, you kind of just do. It's wild. Now, he did get a little banged up in this one, but still managed 15 for 118 and three scores. He and Hurts had three rushing scores. Will Shipley got in, so the Philadelphia Eagles totaled seven rushing scores in this game. And let's be clear, running the football is the bread and butter for the Eagles. They establish the lead. They run the ball a lot to drain the clock, and that's how they've won football games for a bulk of their time here under Sirianni. But this was not just Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. You had A.J. Brown really step up big time. This is the best playoff performance from him in quite some time. He goes 6 for 96 and a touchdown. Dallas Goedert was a monster here, 7 for 85, constant mismatch that he is. And while Devontae Smith only had 4 for 45, he had one of the prettiest catches of the game, that toe tap catch. This is a complete team. And perhaps even more importantly, this is a team that managed to get after Jaden Daniels. One of the most difficult things to do this season, it felt like, was sack this dude, and they were able to get to him, especially in the postseason. You know, they were able to get to him. Now, it's not like they had a ton of sacks, but they only have two sacks in the game, but they got the two sacks. You know, they got after him a little bit. Now, you know, Daniels, and I'll get to him in a minute, but he made life difficult on fourth down situations, but ultimately, all said and done, Philly was able to contain. You had the remarkable Quinion Mitchell interception. There's a number of interesting standout plays on the defensive side of the ball for the Eagles. Now they're going to obviously have to step up, and they face a much taller task against Patrick Mahomes, but it's not an unbeatable matchup. The Eagles with the 55 points, that was the most points scored in a conference championship game in NFL history. That game started in 1970. Previously, the most points, or it is the most points that we've seen since the AFC divisional round in 1999 when the Jaguars scored 62. That was Dan Marino's last game against the Dolphins. But history is not kind to teams who have scored 45 plus in the conference championship game. It's happened twice before, the Panthers in 2015, the Bills in 1991. Neither won the Super Bowl. But you got Sirianni back. Second Super Bowl appearance in the first four seasons. Only Joe Gibbs and Mike Tomlin had done that before. You have the Eagles putting up massive, massive yardage. First team with 500-plus rushing yards, 10-plus rushing touchdowns in a two-game span, and that's any two-game span, not just playoffs, since 1962, since the Packers. They're doing stuff that we have not seen. Like the seven-touchdown thing, we haven't seen seven rushing touchdowns since the 40s. It's wild. And then how about this? Jalen Hurts. So in his career as a starter, college and pro, he has a record of 88-24. He has been to the playoffs seven times, if you count like national championship game, et cetera, for Alabama. And he did go to the college football playoff with Oklahoma seven times, man. Two national title games, two Super Bowls. He's the Heisman runner-up. He was the MVP runner-up. He's had success every step of the way, and he's not your traditional quarterback. You know, even in this era, you know, he is a dual threat guy, but he's not quite the passer. You know, he doesn't bring the prowess of somebody like Josh Allen, for example, who is the, you know, sort of ultimate dual threat, or Lamar Jackson, ultimate dual threat quarterbacks. He isn't quite that, but he's pretty good. And he manages the game especially well for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it helps when you have Saquon back there. He very likely will get to 2,500 rushing yards across every game, so including the playoffs. The record is 2,476 from Terrell Davis in 1998. Looks like he'll get that. He needs 30 yards to get there, and obviously then 2,500 is within sight. That's crazy. It's really, really crazy. And, you know, I want to be really clear. Philly won in commanding fashion. No pun intended, but the Commanders themselves, this is only the beginning. This is not remember that year when Jaden Daniels made it to the postseason? No, I think we're going to see this annually. This dude is just too good. He is too calm, cool, collected for this to just be a fluke. This is not a fluke. He threw the ball 48 times in this game, 255 and one, ran around the yard a little bit, 6 for 48 and a touchdown. He's going to be an elite fantasy option. In fantasy drafts, you're going to have to pay an uber premium price for him, and I don't think he's going to be worth it, unfortunately. Not that he himself isn't fantastic. It's just I don't believe in overpaying for quarterbacks in fantasy, and unfortunately that's going to apply to him. Now, and right now he is QB3 in my rankings, but they do have a lot of questions from there. You know, you have players like Austin Eckler and Zach Ertz who are very much at the end of their careers. You know, Ertz said he's not retiring. Eckler, who knows? But they have some decisions to make there with those guys. You have Terry McLaurin, who obviously coming off of a career year, has 1 year left on his contract with no guaranteed money. You have to figure out now, do you want to extend this guy? Now, he'll be 30 years old next year. I could see like a four-year deal that really is only a two-year deal, you know, NFL contract magic. I could see that making sense, but it's not just McLaurin. I mean, you have Diami Brown, who stepped up, really looked like he could be a number two receiver. He's headed towards free agency. Like, they have a lot of decisions to make on this roster that will ultimately impact things for fantasy purposes heading into next year. But ultimately, it's an exciting team, and they nailed quarterback. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be an elite option until further notice. And unfortunately, that means he's priced out for me. Remember that time when we could get Jaden Daniels in the late rounds? Not happening anymore. All right, let's move over to the other game. And yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are there. I mentioned this, and what a game this was, by the way, 32-29. To all the haters out there, if you're somebody who listens, you hate the idea of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, isn't that a good thing? What? Can we turn hatred into good things? Yes. The world needs Ric Flair or somebody like that. They need the person who's going to grab the mic and say, I'm not going to say another word until you all shut the hell up, right? We need the heel. We need the villain. And if you don't like the Chiefs, you have your villain. If you don't like the Chiefs and the Bills got in, aren't the Bills really likable, or is it just me? Like, there's no villain there. And maybe your villain would have been Philly. The worst case scenario for the people who love to hate would have been Bills Commanders, because it's like, how do you hate Josh Allen? How do you hate Jaden Daniels? Anyway, you have the Chiefs here. And honestly, okay, I get the heel aspect or hating on it. I get that. But by the same token, we haven't seen a three-peat, well, first and foremost, ever in the Super Bowl era. And in major professional sports in the United States, in like almost 25 years, like you have to go back to the Lakers in the early 2000s. Like, this is impressive stuff, any which way you slice it. And to anybody out there who claims the refs, like, the ref thing is such a tired, lazy complaint. It really is. Yes, refs are going to miss calls. They miss calls in every single professional sport. It is what it is. And they're not giving the Chiefs anything extra. The Chiefs have had calls go against them as well. You know, that happens in sports. And I just don't find it that hard to believe that a team with one of the greatest coaches of all time, with a surefire future Hall of Fame quarterback who may go down as the greatest quarterback of all time when he's done, a team with a great defense, with an incredible defensive coordinator, it's not shocking to me that they're this good. Now, it is striking, because in a salary cap era where the league is designed to create parity, for a team to have this much success, 5 Super Bowls in 6 years, it's striking, but it isn't shocking that this team is having success. And of course, this was a hell of a game for Patrick Mahomes, a quiet game for Kelce. You know, he barely was involved. But Mahomes scores 2 rushing touchdowns, worst spike ever, by the way. 245 and a score. Like, he's not doing what he had to do earlier in his career. And it did help that you have Kareem Hunt give you 17 carries. It wasn't great, 3.8 per carry. This is Kareem Hunt. This is what we should expect. But at least scored the touchdown. He's the Chris Carter of postseason running backs. All he does is score touchdowns. But what I think is really awesome as well, you have all the well-roundedness. You have guys who will step up occasionally, like Juju or Hollywood Brown, or heck, who knows, maybe Hopkins can step up in the Super Bowl. Who knows? But what you have here as well is an ascending young player who really took off over the second half of his rookie season in Xavier Worthy. The team is impressive. There's no doubt about it. The defense especially is impressive. And it is really fascinating how they match up with the Eagles. Now, I'll talk about that in a minute. But, I mean, the history that has been made here, like Mahomes already, not even 30 years old, has won more postseason games than Joe Montana. Now, granted, the playoffs have expanded a little bit, so maybe there's a little bit more opportunity. I don't give a crap. He still has 17 postseason wins. He's 29 years old. It's really staggering. Third quarterback ever to reach five Super Bowls. The only other two to hit at least five, Tom Brady, duh, and John Elway. He's on the list with those two. Andy Reid is on a list with Bill Belichick and Don Shula, only head coaches all time to reach at least six Super Bowls. It's the fourth team to make three straight. None of them have won three straight. In fact, you know, the Dolphins went 71-73. They didn't win all three of those, obviously. The Bills, 90-93. They didn't win any of them, unfortunately. And then 2016-2018, the Patriots did three straight. But nobody has three-peated at all in the Super Bowl era. It's pretty staggering. And even if you hate them, I mean, at least appreciate that, right? But I think the hate is good. I really do. I love that about this Super Bowl. Now, the Bills. Josh Allen played his butt off. They, I think, made one really crucial mistake, and it was an overall game planning mistake. You can't run the tush push, the quarterback sneak, to the same exact way every single time and expect it to work if your opponent starts stopping it. And, you know, what's so staggering there is on the season, he was 20 of 21 on third or fourth down sneaks, and he was 2 of 5 in this game. He was stopped three different times. So that was a crucial mistake. But Allen making some big time throws. He was a little shaky early. But I mean, that Mac Hollins touchdown throw was a thing of beauty. It really was. He made some big time throws in this game. 237 and 2, ran 11 for 39. Another question I have is, where the heck was James Cook at the end of the game? I mean, that one James Cook touchdown, holy crap, by the way. 13 for 85 and 2, caught 3 for 49. Get him 20 touches. Get him 20 touches. But they didn't do that. And, you know, the other thing that really, I think, about this team, and I'm not going to bury Dalton Kincaid at the very end of the game. I initially had that same reaction everybody did. Going back, watching the tape, you could see his momentum was going in the complete opposite direction. He had to stop and kind of dive backward because the ball was thrown behind him. I'm not going to bury him for that. But the lack of an alpha receiver, you know, They didn't have the ascending Xavier Worthy. Like, their guy who they drafted didn't ascend at the end of the season, Keon Coleman. We never saw him really take that next step in his rookie year. They traded for Amari Cooper. It's pretty obvious that he just never got up to speed, and he's an older player as well. They didn't have their Stephon Diggs. Not that it, you know, not that they made it to the Super Bowl when they had Diggs, but that felt like a weak link. Because you have the run game working big time. You have Superman under center. And it wasn't there. I feel for the Bills fans. I really wanted to see Josh get to the Super Bowl. And I still think maybe he does. You know, I have this really interesting comparison. This came from the research team over at CBS. First seven seasons in a pro career. Josh Allen, no titles. 0-4 versus Patrick Mahomes. Most total touchdowns in his first seven seasons all time. Wilt Chamberlain, no titles in his first seven seasons, 0-5 against Bill Russell, most points in the first seven seasons of the NBA all time. Now, Wilt did win the championship in his eighth year, and he beat Russell in the divisional finals. So does that bode well for Josh Allen? I just wanted to see him get there, though. But he definitely had to put the team on his back. And it was close. It was really, really close. But, you know, hats off to Spagnuolo and the Chiefs for getting it done. Josh Allen remains the elite fantasy quarterback for me. I still have him ahead of Lamar. James Cook, pretty much, I mean, I'm not to the point where I can talk about anchors yet. I'm not going to do that yet. But he's probably going to be on that list. I have him as a top 12 guy. And he really was tremendous, especially scoring touchdowns this year. I think the market's going to cool on Kincaid. We'll see Kincaid go in the late rounds this upcoming year. But I think the question largely should be, are they going to get that alpha receiver? Like, who can that alpha receiver be? And I don't know the answer to that question right now. I just don't know. Are they going to be able to bring somebody else in? You know, is it via free agency? That doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense. And while there are some really interesting receivers in this class, at the top end of the class, I don't love the depth in this class as well. So they need to get him something. They need to get him something. Now, it also was put out there that Kincaid was playing through a PCL, a torn PCL this season. So maybe getting him back to 100% for next year could help the cause. But he did not break out in a year where a lot of us thought he was going to. And if you're screaming, look, what about Shakir? Yeah, well, Shakir's like a flex option ultimately. And he's a good role player. And he's a guy who, yes, can catch 5 or 6 balls for you and, you know, put up 60 yards. But you need a guy who can go out and take over a game. Like, you need, imagine if there was a, and granted, this type of player doesn't grow on trees, but a Jamar Chase type player in that offense for him. What would that look like? You know, because obviously we know what it looks like for Burrow. What would that look like? Now, easier said than done, but I would sign up for that. I would definitely sign up for that. All right, that's going to wrap things up today. I do have Mock Draft 1.0 coming out later in the week. So I'll come back later in the week and talk about that on the podcast. So my first NFL mock draft, just the first round. The question is, where does Gen T go? I think first and foremost for us, where do the quarterbacks go? Teteroa McMillan, will Travis Hunter even be a wide receiver? But especially, where will Gen T go? And I already know where I'm going to put him. And I think you're going to like it. So there's that. Keep your eyes peeled for that on ftnfantasy.com. Go check out the site anyway. It's an awesome site, especially for fantasy baseball player. You know, we're really gearing up for that, but we have so much, you know, doing for the Super Bowl and everything else. Go check it out at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter/X, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.